Welcome to the St. Albans podcast, bringing you news, views and reviews for the city and district of St. Albans. In association with the Hearts Advertiser.
You're listening to the St. Albans podcast with Danny Smith.
Thought we'd start a bit differently this week. Hello.
Hello.
Hi. That's me, Danny Smith, and that voice there was producer Sam. Hello.
Hello, it's me, producer Sam, yep. Coming to you.
Yeah,
coming to the podcast.
Yeah, live and direct.
Absolutely.
Though it's not live.
Live in your ears.
Yeah, and it's not really direct either because it's via the internet and via an app on your smart device. And
I mean, come sit with us in the studio and then it'll be live and direct.
Yeah, yeah, you could. Although, obviously, we're not going to let you do that, but you know, that is an option.
If you've got a not-for-profit event that you'd like to promote in the St. Albans and surrounding area, then you can come in the studio.
Yeah, true. Or if, yeah, you're involved with a non-profit local group or society or club or organisation. You could come in and talk about that. So you could come in here.
Yeah. But otherwise, doors are closed.
There's forms to fill in and all sorts. Yeah, don't want that. Anyway, yeah, welcome along to another edition of the St. Albans podcast. Sam, what's coming up on the St. Albans podcast this time around?
We have got a discussion about Rob's Festival at Beaumont School, which is this weekend. Eloise and Eleanor are here talking about that.
Yeah, we say this weekend. That's the 22nd of June is when that happens, from 12 to 6 at Beaumont School. So Eloise is a sixth former who this year is the coordinator of the event, and Eleanor is one of her school teachers. Yeah. You used to work with her, didn't you?
I did indeed. I was a science technician at Beaumont, yes.
Okay. Got any gossip about Eleanor?
No, she's a lovely lady.
You've not got anything?
Not for,
not for public consumption. That means you're going to tell me stuff off air about her?
No, she's lovely.
Hang on, let me put the mics down. Tell me something now. Wow. I wouldn't have thought that to look at her.
But yeah, it's a great event. Raising money and promoting the arts that the Beaumont students have. Like, it's a bit like a music festival, isn't it?
Some of the bands are homegrown that are actually, so some of the entertainment is provided by members of Beaumont School, and there are some other local bands as well on the lineup, plus lots of fun things to do around the site as well. But we will hear more about that when we talk to Eloise and Eleanor.
Let's hear it from the experts.
Yeah, well, we'll hear from them a bit later. What else have we got?
We have got Trevor Meriden. He's here. He'll be talking about his cricket group, Men of Garden Fields, who are doing some fundraising.
Yeah, so they're known as the Men of Fields. They are all parents of children at Gardenfield School, and they play cricket together. And every couple of years, they do some big fundraising event, and they're walking the Ridgeway. And I thought, well, you know, I could do that easy.
Well, yeah, it's a quite a short road down the other side of St. Albans, isn't it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's just over in Marshallswick. It's just a bit of a sort of a horseshoe shape.
I do that all the time.
Yeah, I thought I could easily manage that. Apparently it's not.
Oh, what is it?
No, apparently it's a far bigger walk than that. It's a different part of the country.
Oh, right, it's not St. Albans. Okay.
No. And it's something that has been, people have been walking this now for several hundred years, and it's quite a trek, and they're doing it over 4 days.
Well, I look forward to hearing about that then.
Yeah. So we've got all of that. And what else?
Well, of course, this will all be briefly interrupted by Hot Topics with Ian Rogers and me, producer Sam.
Okay, so that's where we look at a particular news story, something quite irreverent, really, from somewhere around the world. It's supposed to be a little bit of light-hearted relief, and we'll be discussing something of interest a bit later as well. You want to mention somebody as well, don't you?
I would like to, yes. Hello to Dan Asher, who's a listener, and he has told me he listens every week. Of course, for some reason this week he won't listen. And he's been very much enjoying the podcast. So thank you, Dan, for listening in.
Okay.
And hello to everyone else, any new listeners we have as well.
Yeah, yeah. If you don't believe that Dan is going to be listening in or not.
No, I'm joking.
We'll set a code word.
Okay.
And he's got to email us with a code word.
Perfect.
Yeah. In fact, you've got an email address, haven't you?
I do.
Yeah, it's sam@stalbanspodcast.com.
That's right.
And if anybody listening now emails in that code word, Sam will give you a mention next week.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And that code word this week is plinth.
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 I like it.
Okay. We're all over the social media stuff as well. If you want to get in touch with us for any reason at all, you can always email.
Email Danny at stalbanspodcast.com.
Yeah, we're also on the old Twitter.
Follow St Albans Podcast on Twitter.
Yeah, we are at St Albans Podcast on the Twitter. Facebook, you can find us by typing that in as well, and also on Instagram.
Yeah, our handle is St Albans Podcast.
Okay, that's all of that. Plus, we have a website.
Find out more on our website, stalbanspodcast.com.
Great stuff. But first, shall we have some local news?
Let's do it.
Stop the press. It's Front Page Frankie.
Yes, indeed. Our very own Frankie Berry from the Hearts Advertiser is here with us on the St Albans podcast, looking at the biggest local news stories in our area, the relevant stories, and unpacking them a little bit as well as we go.
Yes.
So, hello.
Okay, so for our first story, we've got a primary school in the district, Sauncey Wood, and they've done a whole week based around getting kids to be more active, which is obviously a good thing. And on one of the days, Wheelie Wednesday, liking the pun, they invited all the students to come into school on wheels. So be that scooters or skateboards or bikes or, you know, any number of things. Segways? Is that? I'm sure none of them were. Okay,
Oh, those things that are not actually road legal in this country. Those ones, you mean.
I'm sure none of them did that.
No. You can drive them on private land. You can't drive them on highways or pavements or anything. Segways. Those things with the big wheels.
Yeah,
you stand in between the two wheels. And then
they
you have
look
this
like
fun. Yeah. In other countries, they're seen as a great thing, you know, reducing sort of emissions and good for the environment and all that sort of stuff. But no, not legal over here yet.
It's something to do with the fact that it's an engine or a motor of some description, but it's not been like MOT'd and things, so it's not roadworthy. But it's also an engine, therefore you can't go on the pavement with it. So it's not okay on the pavement or okay on the road, I believe.
It's something like that. It's something to do with our kind of archaic laws about stuff like that as well.
That's your opinion.
No, that's fact. I'm saying that now as fact. You heard it here first, that the British legal system is arcane and archaic. There you go. Sue me if you want. We've got a lawyer on the team now. I'm all right. He might be sweating.
Anyway, this was all as part of Walk to School Week. And so this was Wheelie Wednesday, but there were actually also alliterative names for every day of the week. So there was Moving Monday, Trainer Tuesday, Wheelie Wednesday, as we've discussed. Follow Me Thursday. And
that one doesn't really work, does it?
It doesn't, but it's, you know, it's the sound. Think about the sound. And Fitness Friday.
Okay.
Follow Me Thursday is where you do some kind of fitness with a friend, you know, like as a group. So you could walk to school as a group, or you could go to like a fitness class as a group.
Couldn't they have had Thoroughfare Thursday?
Thoroughfare?
Yeah, like where they, you know, trying to encourage people to walk on like pathways into, you know, rather than just, you know, maybe go a bit further, go a little bit, you know, go 5 minutes more out of your way.
Thoroughfare. I don't know whether that's the definition of thoroughfare.
It's not, but a thoroughfare is kind of some sort of pathway, or it's a, you know, it's a stretch, but no more of a stretch than Follow Me Thursday, which doesn't even work if you go for alliteration.
It's a great project to get kids more active, and Sauncey would have been great at that anyway. Either last year or the year before, I can't remember, they installed a daily mile track, so kids run around it every single day, so they run a mile every single day, which is more than I do.
I believe that's known as the Daily Mile Thoroughfare.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
That's the definition of thoroughfare.
That's a definition of thoroughfare.
Yeah, so Sauncey would are really up there with getting their kids active and enjoying a healthy lifestyle.
Okay. Do you seem to see, or at least it feels like I'm seeing, more kids on scooters these days, you know, the sort of, which I guess is good, because it's kind of getting them a bit more active. I'm not sure whether there's the health benefits of a scooter compared to like walking. I don't know where. I'm guessing walking's possibly using more energy, but it's good to see people out doing that, and maybe if it encourages them to go further. I think some parents don't mind taking the kids on a scooter because they're likely to walk for further or travel for further, whereas if they're walking, they might have to end up carrying them or something.
And also, I mean, it gets people out of their cars, doesn't it? So it's a way of travelling that doesn't put loads of CO2 into the atmosphere and relieves the roads. So that's good as well, apart from the health aspect. Although it does kind of link in with the health aspect, because if there's less cars on the road, then there's less pollution. And we all know that pollution is very bad for children and adults to breathe in. So it all links in, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does. And they were encouraging people to skateboard as well.
Yes.
Because I gather that that's something of a resurgence now in certain kind of like like adolescent grown-ups. Would that be right?
Adolescent? What are you saying? Yes, I like skateboarding. I started trying to skateboard to work. I say try. I've been doing it about once a week for the last Well, I got my skateboard in January, and then I had sort of like a, I was a bit scared and had a bit of a shoulder accident.
Oh, no.
Bit of an incident.
Right.
Yeah. But then I've been doing it for about 3 months, about once a week, skateboarding to work. Yeah.
Okay.
If anyone sees me around.
Yeah.
Yeah. I need to, anyone who's down with the skateboarding lingo, I need to learn how to ollie. And if anyone needs, wants to teach me how to ollie so I can get up curbs, that'd be great.
Okay. Well, any skateboarders out there, if you get
please
in touch with
teach
us.
Teach me how to ollie. Yeah.
Yeah. If you know how to ollie, email danny@stalbanspodcast.com. We will hook you up with Frankie. She will pay you handsomely because she's very wealthy.
Oh, am I? Okay.
Yeah. And
can't
yeah.
they just do it out of the kindness of their hearts?
Well, they could do
to help me get up curbs.
Or potentially you would maybe make a feature out of it and then give them some publicity for something. And yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense.
There's
that
various ways that this could
I
be.
I think actually what it comes down to is I need to practice.
Right.
Because I know how to ollie really, like in theory it's just quite hard and I need to practice it.
Okay.
And if I practice I'll do it.
All right.
In
more,
the end.
More skating news with your skateboarding news with the one and only
Front Page Frankie
in a little while. Joining me on this edition of the St Albans podcast, I've got Eloise and Eleanor, who are here from Beaumont School, and we're going to talk about something called Rob's Festival. So, Eleanor, I'm going to start with you first, because I gather that you've never left school, is that right?
Pretty much, yeah. So, I was a student at Beaumont, left for a bit, and then came back to be a teacher there. And I'm still here.
Right. Okay. And you have been involved with Rob's Festival now for a very long time, for all of it.
How? Yeah. Yeah. For the whole 10 years.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you're probably then the person who can answer the most, the best then as to what it is.
Okay. So Rob's Festival is a festival that we set up in memory of our friend Rob Williams. He went to Beaumont as well, and he was a phenomenal man. Not only in terms of his physical presence, his sporting ability, but also his personality as well. We were part of a very, very large group of friends, and our friendship continued beyond Beaumont. So when in 2009 we tragically lost Rob, we were, well, as everybody is, we were devastated at losing him. And to put it into context, his funeral was held in the Abbey. And it was full. And I think that's a real testament to him as a person. And on that same day, we were all talking together, thinking we can't let this go unmarked. And we decided that we wanted to do something massive in his memory. And we knew that he was a huge fan of the Prince's Trust, because he was an entrepreneur himself. He set up a business with his best friend Jason from his bedroom. It was called Dolphin Music, that sold music equipment and specialised in music technology. And so he was a really big fan of supporting young people to develop their careers in that. So we set up the idea of Rob's Festival, pitched it to Beaumont School, and luckily they said yes because they remembered him so fondly. And yes, the first festival was born.
Okay, and that was back in 2010?
Yes.
Okay, so this will be the 10th one?
Yeah, 10th festival.
Okay, so I had to work that out a little bit there.
I know, you have to count on your fingers.
Yeah, and you sort of think, oh, that's 9 then, but then it is 10.
Yeah.
So yes, that's definitely, you're a maths teacher then?
No.
But I am
an economics teacher. Close.
Okay, so you know how to lie about numbers. Right, okay. So so who's this young urchin that you've brought in with you today then on the podcast?
This phenomenal young lady is leading the festival this year. So every year we have a different organiser. And, well, she is phenomenal, but you'll hear that in a second when she starts talking.
See, when I met young Eloise, she was just very bossy. She just kept telling me where I had to be and had to go to places. And then every time I turn my back and I go to somewhere else and they say, oh, have you met this great teenager that we've got that's working with us? It's Eloise.
Yeah.
You seem to be, I'm trying to put this in a polite way, but you seem to get around St Albans quite a bit.
Yeah, well... certain places in St Albans. I haven't been everywhere just yet.
Not yet. Okay.
No.
So you're a Beaumont School student,
yep.
And you've got A-levels at the moment. You're sixth form, aren't you?
I do, yeah.
Okay.
First year of A-levels.
And so how did you get involved with Rob's Festival?
So they advertise. So obviously it's been going on since I was in year 7, so I've known about it for the past however many years. I'm not great at maths, so I won't figure
I'm
that
guessing
out.
That's 7 years. Would that be 7 years?
Probably.
Count on your fingers, Eloise. Count on your fingers.
7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. 6 years.
Well, what year are you now?
12.
Oh, so you've not got... So you're like lower sixth in old money?
Yes.
Oh, okay, so that's only 6 years. So I thought you were... When you were talking about A-levels earlier, and I thought that meant you... Anyway, okay. Yeah. So we'll you're halfway through your A-levels. Yes. Right. Okay, so... So you've been involved with it for many years now. You've known about it, but now you are organising it.
Yes. Well, obviously, some people might know I did a event back when I was in year nine to raise money for Macmillan Cancer down at the Abbey Theatre, which is when I first fell in love with organising events. And I also did the year six end year party. That was the first time Oakwood ever did it. So that was, I organised that. So that was my first ever event. And it kind of just grew from there. And so when I found out that I could apply, I was like, I want to do that. I want to be a part of something, especially something so special this year as it's the 10th anniversary. Okay. I was like, I'd like to leave my mark.
So, Eleanor, did a lot of students want to take this on then? And was it quite difficult choosing which one to sort of let be the organiser?
A range of students apply. And the great thing about the festival is that there's different roles that students can fulfil. So obviously you can be overall organiser, but you can also have... So Eloise kind of has like sub-leaders.
Yeah.
So someone will be in charge of music and the acts. Someone will be in charge of stalls, marketing, sales. So that's one of the great things about this festival and makes it different from any other festival in St Albans because it's organised by our students.
Okay. We've been talking to Eloise and Eleanor from Beaumont School talking about Rob's Festival, which is on the 22nd of June from 12 till 6:30 p.m. We'll have more from both of these ladies in just a moment.
Hi, I'm Elspeth Jackman, inviting you to listen to my podcast One to One with Elspeth. Find a local person with a story and I'll be there to draw out all those little details you want to know about. If I'm fascinated, so will you be. Each week I'll be talking to an interesting character who has a tale to tell. And the beauty of it is you can listen whenever you want to. To find the podcast, go to your podcasting platform of choice and search for the St Albans Podcast. Alternatively, go to stalbanspodcast.com/Elspeth. That's One to One with Elspeth, part of the St Albans Podcast in association with the Hearts Advertiser. You never know, you could be my next guest.
Trevor Meriden is here with me on the St Albans Podcast. Trevor is a former colleague of mine. We used to be on a radio station together. Trevor used to do a business show. But we're here to talk about something called Men of Fields. So, hello, Trevor.
Hello, Danny. Good to see you again.
So, first off, what is Men of Fields?
Well, Men of Fields is a collection of dads with children at Garden Field School here in St Albans. Some of us, I suppose, the kind of traditional mixture of cricketing gentlemen, some proper players, if you like, and the rest we might just call useful chaps. They bat a bit, bowl a bit, aren't very good at anything in particular, but we have a good time.
Okay, so the Garden Field School and cricket were the two things that kind of brought this collection of gentlemen together.
That's right, yes. And we've been together for many years, about 35 years, long before I became involved, but it's been around for a long time within the school.
Okay. Every 2 years you undertake a walk, but quite a trek, not just a stroll around the park twice, is it?
Yeah, we're not just popping down the shops. I mean, we've kind of got form in this area. We've sort of we've been on long walks before. We went to the Isle of Wight and walked all the way around the Isle of Wight, which was about sort of 75 miles or so. We did a walk called the Jurassic Walk, which is along the south coast, which was a similar kind of distance, and we've got form in that. Previously we've raised about, between those two walks and London to Brighton bike ride and various other cycling.
Didn't you cycle to Devon as well?
Yes, that's right. I didn't personally, but a number of the guys did. But in all, we've managed to raise about 60,000 over the years, sort of for our pursuits to date, all for charitable causes.
Well, that's incredible. Yeah, it's a huge amount from those events. Now the thing is, though, I thought when I was reading about this, I thought, that sounds really impressive. And then when I heard about this year's one, I thought, is that it? because you just walk in the Ridgeway. And I thought, well, you know, there's I'm pretty sure there's even longer streets in Marshallswick.
No, you know? Right. No, not the Ridgeway. No. It's the Ridgeway National Trail.
Okay.
Starts near
the 85 mile one.
That's the one.
Not
yes,
the one in Marshallswick.
Not the one in Marshallswick. It starts near Swindon.
Right.
And then we kind of walk sort of eastway. And the kind of the clues in the title is you have to walk up to get onto the ridge and then sort of walk along this ridge. So it's not probably not quite as hilly as in previous years, but I think a few of the bits are very hilly indeed. And if you want to sort of go off to your local hostelry at the end of the day, or a youth hostel association or something like that, then you have to go down into the nearest nearby valley. So I think it probably will be a bit more than the 85.
Okay. How many miles a day do you think you'll be walking in?
Well, we're doing
it... How many days are you doing it over?
We're doing it over 3 and a bit days. Our final whole day is getting to Ivinghoe Beacon, which obviously isn't very far from here, and in years gone by, we probably have, you know, we'd have had sore feet by then and got our sort of wives and partners to sort of pick us up from wherever we ended up. But this time we're actually going to be walking back from Ivinghoe Beacon as well on the final bit of a day, which is another 18 miles. So we've sort of glutton for punishment, just sort of put some...
Well, on top of the 85?
No, that's including the 85.
Oh, that's...
But not including the various times we get lost along the way, which is probably going to be quite a lot.
Going back on yourselves
and
all
that. It might end up nearer 100, I'd say. So...
So that's going to be nearly 30 miles a day then, I guess,
yeah,
is what you're doing.
More or less.
Okay. What sort of preparation are you guys doing?
Well, a high variation in preparation.
From little all the way to none? is that where we're going?
Some have, let's just say, they're not in any danger of peaking too early,
right,
in their preparation. Most of us are kind of meeting every Sunday and we're going for sort of 15, 20 mile walks. Last weekend was a bit confusing. Using because, you know, we were sort of caught up with St Albans half marathon and so we kind of sort of crisscrossed over, and we're getting various rounds of applause from the crowd, although we weren't actually taking part in the half marathon.
Just take it,
we took the glory.
Okay, yeah. So this year you are looking to raise £25,000, and you're actually a good way there already, 20% there, I gather.
Yeah, about 20%. We're not resting on any laurels because we haven't got that long to go. We've only got about sort of 3.5 weeks to go, so there's a lot of intense work, a lot of sponsorship emails going out, you know, obviously appearing on your good podcast, and, you know, and other, you know, sort of outlets, as whoever will listen to us, you know, it will give a hearing and obviously do a little plug for our sponsorship page.
Okay, so you're doing this, you're starting on the 5th of July?
We are, and yes.
And we haven't yet talked about the charity. So how have you chosen the charities you're supporting?
Yeah, that's really important to us. I mean, the walk's dedicated to the friends and families of we call ourselves MOFs, Men of Fields, you know, short for it is MOFs, you know, who have been affected by cancer. And we've had a few, although, and also it's for all those living with cancer everywhere. And the local charities, and there's two of them which benefit, are very dear to our hearts in respect to our personal experiences. The first is the Rennie Grove Hospice Care, and the second is the Hospice of St Francis. And obviously what we're going to look to do is get as much money in as we can and then just divide it evenly between the two of them.
Okay. So if people want to give money, you've got a Virgin Money giving website. It's not a simple one to read out, but what we will do is we will link to it. So if people go to St Albans Podcast, they will stalbanspodcast.com, they will find the link there. It will also be in the description of this podcast episode as well, and we will also put it out on social media, on the Twitter and the Facebook and all of that.
And that's absolutely wonderful. If you do get lost when you're on that UK Virgin Money giving page, just type in Men of Fields and you'll get there. Or if you likewise either go to Danny's podcast page on social media or visit ours, you'll find it there as well.
Okay, yeah, so Men of Fields, if you search for that on the Virgin Money giving website, you will find them as well. But yeah, we will link to it from stalbanspodcast.com. Well, there's 18 of you, I gather.
That's no 19 of
19
us.
Of
19
you.
Of
okay
us, yeah.
Oh, well, your Virgin page says 18, so
oh, does it?
Yeah. Oh, that makes it easier.
Maybe we've lost one in the last few days.
He's already got lost.
We might lose a few along the way as well.
He's like your navigator, I hope. Well, look, we wish you all every success. I mean, that's quite a thing to walk 20 to 30 miles is a huge achievement. To do that then again the next day, and again the day after that, and again the day after that. That's some going.
That's the hardest bit, is getting up the next day and doing it, and then the next day.
Yeah. Well, we wish you every success with it all. Are you going to be doing updates en route? Can people sort of follow you on social media and see updates and things?
Oh yeah, we're going to be doing Facebook. We've got Garden. Just look up Garden Fields Cricket Club, or our Twitter address is at GF Cricket Club, and you'll find us. There sort of tweeting and chirping merrily away.
Okay, so that's at GF Cricket Club on Twitter. We will link to that as well. Okay, well, we wish you every success. We're looking forward to pictures of blistered feet. I'm guessing that's going to form part of the...
Be careful what you ask for,
Danny. Yeah, well, there you go. We all have a fetish, don't we? In the meantime, Trevor Meriden, thank you very much for coming on the St Albans podcast.
Pleasure.
Ian Rogers and producer Sam are here with more hot topics for us. What have you got?
Well, it's the World Cup coming up shortly, the Women's World Cup. And we're talking about the Royal Rovers inspired story, which will feature a female lead and in women's football for the first time. Rocky of the Rovers will be written as a live comic starring Roy's sister, and will be published during the FIFA Women's World Cup this summer. It will be released chapter by chapter as the Lionesses make their way through this year's tournament. Now, if you don't know about Royal Rovers, football comic series, first published in 1954, used to read it regularly in the 60s in the comic Tiger, although Roy is now about 65. He's 65 years old, still playing.
Yeah, then they spun off into its own comic book. I remember as a kid, Roy the Rovers was its own comic.
Yeah, yeah. And at one time, Roy the Rovers was the sponsor of St Albans City Football Club. Actually used to have it on the front of their shirts, Roy the Rovers.
Really?
Yeah, back in the 90s.
Okay.
They said the idea will feature Rocky Race, her brother Roy, and her football coach Fion, as they travel around France to cheer on the team, and it's going to be written by children's author Tom Palmer. The idea is to write the story day to day as events unfold, making the action as up to date and relevant to children in the classroom so they enjoy reading for pleasure, and to encourage them to follow England women all the way to the final, he said. Donna McIver, women's development manager at the FA, said the excitement and profile of a tournament would engage students in reading and literacy too. So all good stuff coming out of there.
Yeah.
Rob Power, Deputy Publishing Manager at Rebellion, said the female characters were as integral to the Roy the Rovers world as Roy himself, and were proud to support women's football and the Lionesses as they make their bid for World Cup glory. The Roy the Rovers himself was rebooted last year after they bought the rights to the character in 2016. And although his original escapades were printed in various forms between 1954 and 2001, they've now taken him back to be 16 years old again and starting out all over again.
So they've is that what they call retconning, Sam?
I don't know if retelling
the origin
retcon
story.
Is like when you change a fact or a part of a story to fix something you want to do in the future,
yeah,
opposed to just rebirthing the character. I guess I don't know which is a bit different.
Yeah, so rebooting it, I guess.
Yeah,
it is,
reboot
it?
Is probably
a reboot, not a retcon.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah, so that's what's happening there. And also as part of the World Cup, or the Women's World Cup, the iconic football song Three Lions has been rewritten.
Is it Three Lionesses?
I'm not quite sure, I'm just reading this now for the first time. As a feminist anthem to support England's women's team in the next month's World Cup. The original song, of course written by David Baddiel and Frank Skinner, gave their permission, along with the Football Association, for the song to be reimagined in a special commission by a drinks firm. The rewritten song, Three Lionesses, appears as a soundtrack for their new advert campaign, which aims to inspire public support for the country's female team. In its new, decidedly a feminist incarnation, the lyrics have been changed to reflect the negative attitudes towards women football. Like the original, Three Lionesses also references England's past successes, but the players' names are now changed. Some of the substitutions include Jade Moore for Bobby Moore, Nikita Paris for Gary Lineker, Jordan Nobbs replaces Nobby Styles in the new version of the song, and they said, "I know the players love the Three Lionesses track, and I hope it inspires the team to World Cup glory." An incredible time for women's football as awareness and popularity continues to grow. And they said, arguably, Three Lions is the most iconic England song, so we're proud to be able to give it the Lionesses twist in support of the team and the women's game in general.
I guess it's interesting because, so originally the Three Lions song, which was not an official song, it was an unofficial one, wasn't it?
Yep.
But it became such an anthem. But it was about the negativity towards England, and so now they're using this as the negativity towards women's football. Yeah. So it's an interesting parallel there. Yeah. Sam, you're a woman. What do you think?
That I am, Danny. Bearing in mind, people may not even realise that women's football was actually banned, illegal for women to play on FIFA, not FIFA, on FA pitches up until the late 70s, I believe, mid to late 70s, which is absolutely bizarre when you think about it.
You're thinking of how many archaic things are still part of football, and the things that they don't allow us to, or things that they're very reluctantly allowing to come into football now. In a way, it's hardly surprising. So, I'm not condoning it for a second.
No, but given, you know, the amazing progression that the women have gone, and, you know, getting to the World Cup and potentially even to the final this time, and who knows, winning, considering how long the men have been going at it. Gosh, we're doing pretty well.
Yeah, and also, I mean, I'm not really a football fan, but I've seen some women's football at this level. I think I saw a little bit of the last World Cup, and the for a start, those players get up again when they're fouled. You know, they're a lot tougher than their male counterparts, it would seem, and the game flows a bit more. There's a little bit more grace to it. I don't know if that's a generalisation or if it's a fair comment or what, but that's how it appeared.
I certainly think, having watched a few games recently, that it's a lot more sporting, as you say. I mean, people go into quite a meaty tackle, and there's no histrionics over it. You just get up and get on with it, shake hands, and that's the way it used to be when I watched Division 1 football, as it was back in the 70s, similar sort of thing.
Yeah, okay.
I think people are definitely coming out to watch as well, because we tried to go to the final game of the season a couple of weeks ago, and it was sold out, and we didn't expect to be able to turn up on the day.
Yeah.
And no way, couldn't get a ticket.
Good point.
Well, you know, it's great, and I'm ashamed to say I didn't know there was a Women's World Cup this year. I'm pleased to hear that there is one,
and
I wish them every success. And if this song helps to raise the profile, then good luck to them.
Absolutely.
Okay, Ian Rogers and producer Sam will be back with more hot topics on a future edition of the St Albans podcast.
Stop the press. It's Front Page Frankie.
We're back with Front Page Frankie from the Hearts Advertiser. What have you got next?
Hello, yes. So, construction work on St Albans City Station is about to begin. And that's to ease congestion in the station. Because, I mean, I've commuted into London, and I'm sure lots of other people listening will have, and it is incredibly crowded.
That's when you're not skateboarding.
That's when I'm not skateboarding into London. That might be a bit of a trek. I'm on a skateboard. But yes, so that's going to start in August.
Okay. Am I right in thinking that for some this is long overdue? Because isn't it claimed that our station is one of the busiest north of London on the Thameslink line?
I mean, Thameslink, that's Thameslink stat. So it is the busiest.
Oh, so it's a fairly safe claim to make then, that they're the ones saying it.
Yeah, right. Exactly. St Albans is the busiest Thameslink station north of London. And it also has one of the smallest footprints. So combine those together and suddenly you have a very busy station. And obviously commuters will, I'm sure, testify to the fact that it's unpleasant in the morning and in the evening as well, coming off trains and getting to the footbridge. And
well, you're suddenly pushing a very large number of people through a very narrow thoroughfare.
Yes,
and it is a thoroughfare as well. So I'm going to see how many times I can get that word in on this podcast
on a Thursday as well.
Yes,
what was I saying? All right, so the works will include where the WH Smith and the AMT Coffee are. That's going to be one retail space of an unannounced, as yet unannounced, retailer.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be on two floors, but the top floor will be for storage. So there's that. There's going to be more gates in the station way entrance, concourse. Yeah. The waiting room on platform 2 and 3, that is going to be kind of hollowed out almost, so that people can use it. It's not going to be an obstacle. People can walk through it, so it widens out the whole platform, if I'm making sense. They can walk in one side and walk out the other, so people can walk through it, which means it will obviously ease congestion. And the toilets that are there currently will go onto platforms 1 and 4. So there will actually be more toilet facilities throughout the whole station. And the Ridgemont Road entrance is going to become bigger. So there'll be more ticket machines and more gates. The cycle, it's going to be, the Ridgemont Road entrance is going to be where the cycle racks are currently now. Those will move over the other side, station wayside. And Tenzing are working with British Transport Police to try and make that secure, because St Albans is a bit of a hot spot for bike theft, St Albans Station. So they're looking to make that more secure by putting CCTV on every single rack. So that's all the work that should be done in a year. So it should be done by July 2020.
Okay. How much disruption is that likely to cause while the work's carrying on?
Well, you're smiling, but actually it's good news. There shouldn't be any. There shouldn't be any disruption.
I look forward to the stories to the contrary.
Thameslink believe that there will be no disruption.
Okay.
That the only disruption that there will be when they're taking down the current waiting room, the existing one on platforms 2 and 3. And that the only difference there will be for kind of passengers will be what they see. So they're going to see lots of building work, but there shouldn't be any disruption. But as I say, maybe we should wait and see before we make.
Well, it's. I mean, if they're being as bold as to say, "Oh, it shouldn't really cause any disruption," then let's hope that is correct.
Yeah,
you know, you know, then I can feel all embarrassed about my cynicism.
Exactly. So that is starting in August.
Okay. I'm guessing more about that, as with all the stories that we cover here, will be in this week's edition of the Hearts Advertiser.
Yes. Yes.
And online as well at
heartsad.co.uk.
It's as simple as that. We'll be back with more from Front Page Frankie.
Hello, I'm Simon Carver. Join me and Danny Smith on our new podcast, The St Albans Film Guide. Each week we'll be looking at what's on at the cinema, the top 10, new releases, and also what's on TV over the coming week on all the free-to-air channels. Now, if you want to find the podcast, go to your podcasting platform of choice and search for The St Albans Podcast. Alternatively, you can go to stalbanspodcast.com to find out more. So that's The Film Guide with me, Simon Carver, part of The St Albans Podcast in association with The Hearts Advertiser.
Eleanor and Eloise from Beaumont School are here with me on the podcast this week talking about Rob's Festival from the 22nd to the 29th of June at Beaumont School from 12 till 6:30 p.m. Beaumont School's the big one on Hatfield Road, just before you get to the Speckled Hen, isn't it, if you're going from the town direction. Yes. How do you know about the Speckled Hen, by the way, Eloise? You're not old enough to be in there.
I could get food there.
Okay, she's called me out.
She walks past it every day.
Okay. Oh yeah, teachers covering for the drunken delinquency of a minor there. Very good. Right. Anyway, Rob's Festival. Who's it aimed at? Come on, Eloise, you can answer this one.
Well, obviously it's aimed at the school and the students, but also this year we're opening it out to the community of St Albans as well. So it's not just parents of local primary schools and obviously our own school. It's just. My view is I want it to be open to anyone and everyone that hears it.
All right, imagine this now. Close your eyes. Imagine now you're up on the stage and you're saying, welcome along to the festival. Who do you see in the crowd? I don't mean like naming people. I mean, do you see a load of old men in overalls who've just been fixing tractors? Or do you see a load of, middle-aged people who've just been picking fruit? Or do you see a whole selection of people from all different walks of life? Young, old?
Yeah, like it's a family thing.
There you go. You see, that's what I was after. So you'd aim it at families, you'd say?
Yeah.
Right, okay. And lots of stuff to do for the little ones, and lots of stuff to keep the dads happy, and lots of stuff for the mums to be entertained.
Yeah, we've got bungee runs, sumo wrestling, bouncy castles.
Sumo wrestling.
Sumo wrestling.
How does that work?
Well, you get dressed up as a sumo person in this big suit, and then you can wrestle someone.
Okay.
That's great.
Right. And anyone can join in on that?
Well,
how big are the suits?
Yeah, the suits are for the kids, I'm afraid.
What?
You can do it by yourself.
I don't think you really understand how sumo wrestling works, and if you think you do it on your own, you'd just be sitting in a circle and win, wouldn't you? I think you need someone else to run at you or something. No, I don't know.
Oh, yeah, okay, you don't need the suits for it.
Are you being personal?
No, I'm saying not everyone needs the suits. Grown-ups can do it without the suits because you're not as reckless as children.
Right, okay. Anyway, I think Eloise is digging herself into a hole there. So these are like inflatable suits that children can get into and then they can run at each other and no serious injuries occur.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. So sumo wrestling. And did you say bungee running?
Yes.
What's that?
You get strapped in to something with a bungee cord behind you, and right. you have to run down
I love how you're doing hand actions. This is audio, so you've got to describe it. Use your words.
I can't do it without actions.
Yeah, but right, so something is fastened around your waist.
Yeah.
Yeah, like you do the actions, and I'll try and describe to the listener what you're doing. Something's around your waist, yeah. And then you run. Okay. And then you fall backwards and your hands go high. Right, okay. So it's like a bungee jump, but it's horizontal.
Yes.
Okay, right. That's clear as mud. Thank you. As well as those sorts of things then, so kind of like a sort of a fairground type of feel to it, lots of different activities that you can do. What else is on? Is there entertainment as well for grown-ups? Is there stuff that you can sit and watch if you don't feel... Oh, there's a bar. Okay.
And then there is a lot of external music acts as well as internal music acts from our students.
Okay, so local bands and homegrown talent from within the school. Okay, do you want to give us a flavour of what's on? Do you know some of the bands already that are involved?
I can tell you the external ones. We have the Carnegies, who often play down at the Plough and Harrow, and Blacksmith's Arms. I wouldn't know, I don't go.
No, obviously.
And then we also have Vertigo, which is a local band with three boys from Sandringham. They're currently playing down at Fighting Cocks now.
Okay.
At their festival. And then we have a couple of other local bands called My Stone Nemesis, Lemon Venom and Long Beach.
Okay, so lots of music that will be up on the stage as well, so people can sit and enjoy the bands. They can take part in some of the fun things around the site as well. Basically, that's what you're saying? Okay, we are going to take another break. We will be back though a bit later in the podcast with more from Eloise and Eleanor talking about Rob's Festival 2019.
Stop the press. It's Front Page Frankie.
Yes, the ace reporter Frankie Berry from the Hearts Advertiser is back with us. What's the next story?
Hello, yes. So this is a nice story, actually. So it is a woman who was scared of water. So she had aquaphobia, which is marginally different from hydrophobia. She had aquaphobia, which means she was scared of water. And hydrophobia is something slightly different. Don't ask me exactly what, but a slightly different definition, I believe. Anyway, she had aquaphobia when she was a child. She got over it. She was a happy swimmer. She then decided to take part in the Great North Swim. And on her first training session for that, got in the water and discovered her aquaphobia came back. So she was really scared. And she had lots of support from people in the community. And she had some training sessions from a Harpenden swim coach. And she did the Great North Swim. So that's really, really lovely.
Okay. That's great. I'm just looking up a definition of acrophobia and hydrophobia.
Go on, tell me.
Aquaphobia is an irrational fear of water, which is kind of exactly what you just said.
Mm-hmm.
And hydrophobia is something that's not defined online, which would imply then that really it's aquaphobia is what it is.
I wasn't sure.
Unless I've spelt it wrong. Hydrophobia, maybe.
Yeah, I think, is it?
Let's try that. Go on. Sorry, yeah, as you were researching
anyway, it. Anyway, yeah, I was researching it and I thought that aquaphobia was the correct term.
No, it's still not coming up with anything, no matter how badly I spell it. To have that fear of water and then to do
the Great North Swim for charity as well. So she was doing it for Macmillan Cancer Support and she was raising money. So if anyone wants to go and donate to her, I think that's an amazing achievement. I don't know anyone who's got a phobia out there. I'm sure there are people. To overcome it for charity is a really lovely thing to do.
Okay. It's just come up on here, by the way. Hydrophobia is a historic name for rabies.
Oh yes,
is all your research now coming back to you?
Yes, it's coming back to me. Hydrophobia is, it's not the whole rabies, it's a symptom of rabies where you are afraid of water because you have rabies.
Right.
Whereas aquaphobia is an irrational fear of water.
Yeah.
It's all coming back to me. Yes. So she has acrophobia.
Okay. Well, anyway, that notwithstanding, you know, a remarkable thing to actually turn your phobia into the thing that you're going to do to raise. Because people would raise money and would sponsor you for doing a swim like that anyway, because that's quite an endurance test. It doesn't matter whether you might love swimming, but to do that is quite a thing. But to do it when you're actually, when you actually have a fear of it, you have a psychological fear of it, is well, it's remarkable.
Yes, exactly. And well done to her. It was on a day as well, the Great North Swim was on a day that was really bad weather, and the elite races were cancelled because the weather was too bad.
Okay.
But the charity routes and stuff went on. So being in open water in really rainy, you know, bad weather is even worse, I would imagine, for someone with acrophobia anyway.
Okay. And so how far was the swim? What was the distance?
It was 1 mile around Lake Windermere.
Okay.
In the Lake District.
Well, well done to Hayley. And even though the swim is now finished, yes, it's completed, people can still sponsor her, can't they?
Yes, they can. Yeah. So she has a Just Giving page. So if you go justgiving.com/fundraising/Hayley and then Balanced4, which is her surname.
Okay.
So
people ain't ever going to remember any of that.
Okay.
But the
All
link
right.
is on the Heartsad article on the Heartsad website.
Yes.
Which is
heartsad.co.uk.
It's as simple as that. Mm-hmm. And Front Page Frankie, you'll be back with more local news around about the same time next week.
Yes.
See you then.
Hi, I'm Ben.
And I'm Susie.
And we're here from The Theatre Show.
It's a fortnightly show featuring reviews of local productions, interviews on upcoming shows, and conversations about our local community theatre scene.
To find the podcast, go to your podcasting platform of choice and search The St Albans Podcast. Alternatively, go to stalbanspodcast.com to find out more.
That's The Theatre Show with Ben and Susie, part of The St Albans Podcast, in association with The Hearts Advertiser.
We're talking to Eloise and Eleanor, who are from Beaumont School, talking about Rob's Festival, which is on from the 22nd to the 29th of June from 12 to 6:30pm at Beaumont School on Hatfield Road. Eleanor, are there things that people can... are there ways that people can help you with the festival? Are you still looking for different things? You know, I don't know, people to volunteer to do things or give things or...
Absolutely. So one of the things that... obviously, we have a different team running the festival every year, but, you know, some stalls and things tend to be, you know, consistent throughout the years. One thing that we always run is a raffle. So if there's anybody out there that would like to donate a raffle prize, maybe you're a student, an ex-Beaumont student, or you're a big supporter of the Prince's Trust, or you're both, we'd love to hear from you in terms of prize donations. I think any offers of help on the day as well. I know through Facebook groups, there's loads of people that used to go to Beaumont that are hearing about the festival and they want to come and see how the school has changed. And this is the perfect opportunity because the gates are open for everyone, as Eloise has already said, for everyone to come along.
Okay. Is there going to be something like can you throw a wet sponge at a teacher? Can you, you know, a teacher dunking, things like that? Have we got any of those things going on?
Not to my knowledge.
Potentially. I have a few ideas up my sleeve that I need to run past some of the teachers first.
I'm sure.
My suggestion would be to not run it past them, but just make sure they are there.
Well,
and then,
I was
and
thinking,
then they're trapped.
Bugsy Malone, we have a lot of splurge left from Abbey Theatre's Bugsy Malone. So
okay.
I thought we could just splurge the teachers.
That's one thing about Beaumont teachers, is they really are behind their students in terms of supporting them. So, yeah. I definitely got sponged.
Yeah.
Yeah, because one of the students was a bit too aggressive.
Right. Okay, and former students of the school as well, the teachers you hated from back in the day, they might be there. You could come back and
absolutely.
Get them.
Absolutely, yeah. Every year, and that's one of the beautiful things about the festival is, you know, we started it as a group of mates and now we all come back every year with our own kids. And then they bring their friends and then, you know, yes, there are teachers still there from when I was there as a kid.
Okay.
And that's testament to Beaumont and what a lovely place it is.
Yeah. And also it promises to be good fun because I happen to know for a fact that that Beaumont teachers now had a party. Because I have witnessed your Christmas do's for a couple of years.
Oh, really?
Yeah, well, I DJ'd them.
Oh, fantastic.
Yeah, yeah. And, carnage. Carnage, Eloise, carnage.
Oh, I've heard some of the stories.
Yeah, I'll tell you more later. Okay. So, Eleanor, you've been involved then since the very first one.
Yeah.
What sort of changes have you seen? How was the first one and how does that compare to what this year's is going to be like?
Okay, so the first one, it was just Rob's mates. And, you know, it was us organising everything and liaising with the school. And it was a really lovely opportunity for everybody to come back to the school and just be together and celebrate Rob's life. And I think over the 10 years, the festival has changed into basically developing our young people. For me personally, you know, I still live locally, and I can tell a Beaumont student in the local community.
Right.
And
are they the ones with the ankle tags? Is that what you mean?
No. Just in terms of their ability to engage with people and the way that they take ownership and show responsibility. And Rob's Festival is just a perfect example of the opportunities that our students have.
Okay. Well, it's so nice to hear how much pride that you have in your students and in the abilities of the festival in the way it can reach people and the spirit and the ethos it gives out. If Eloise, if people want to find out more about the festival, if they want to get in touch, if they want to buy tickets, all that sort of stuff, how do they do that?
Okay, so there is stuff on our Beaumont School website about it. We have a poster up on there. We have a Facebook event, Rob's Festival 10th anniversary. I will give you the link to put up on your website.
Okay, yeah, we can put that on stalbanspodcast.com. I'm just rapidly looking up while I talk to you a website that I found as well, because if we can tell somebody now while they're listening, while it's fresh in their mind, that would be really good as well, wouldn't it?
Yes.
And also, if they're, so our school website is beaumontschool.com. It's nice and easy. Even if you just want to have a nosy and see how the school has changed, if you went there before, and then you can see the link for Rob's Festival there.
Yeah, so yeah, go to beaumontschool.com/Rob's-festival. That takes you straight to the page itself. But beaumontschool.com is where you can find out if that teacher that gave you too many detentions is still there. And can people buy tickets in advance? Are they available on the door? How can they get tickets?
You can buy tickets on Eventbrite. If you search in Rob's Festival, it'll come up, and the logo, you'll see the logo on the school website, and you'll see it on there. It's a little triangle with Rob's Fest in it. And then tickets can be bought in there or on the door on the day.
Okay, and how much are the tickets?
£5 for students and children. Under fives go free. Adults are £7. A family ticket is £15 for two adults and two children.
Okay, in the meantime, Eloise and Eleanor, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast and telling us all about this festival. It sounds like it's going to be great.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
That's it for another edition of the St Albans podcast. Thank you very much for listening to this. Thanks also to the Hearts Advertiser for all their support in producing this podcast, not least because they give us this studio that we use, and we're very grateful to them for that. If you want to get in touch with us, if you would like to get in touch to, share something with us that you think would be of interest to other listeners, tell us about something you enjoy. Any way you want to, for any reason you want to get in touch, be nice, please. But you can always email danny@stalbanspodcast.com. And also, don't forget, if you want to send us that code word that we mentioned earlier to get a mention from Sam next week, then you've got to email sam@stalbanspodcast.com, and you've got to email her with the code word, which is
plinth.
Once again, that code word is
plinth.
Thanks. Okay, what else is coming up? We've got other podcasts here, haven't we, Sam?
We do indeed. We have got coming out on Thursday a theatre show with Susie and Ben.
Ben and Susie, don't get the billing wrong.
Okay, or Ben and Susie.
There were legal papers drawn up to get that agreed upon. Oh, dear, you've done
Fights.
It now.
Oh, no, okay. Oh,
yeah. One of them's a right old diva. I won't say which one. I'll say off-air which one. No, I won't. Anyway, yeah, that's the thing I got with Ben and Susie.
Okay, apologies to Ben. On Fridays, of course, we have the film guide, but this week, very special guest appearance with Christopher Aikman stepping in to Simon's shoes.
Yeah, you're saying special guest. I mean, it's not that special, really, is it? It's your husband, and we couldn't find anyone else.
He's a special guest of the podcast.
Yeah. You didn't even want to mention him a minute ago. You rolled your eyes and went, do I have to?
Look.
You've changed when we're on air, haven't you?
And, of course, on Mondays, you can listen to One to One with Elspeth Jackman.
Yeah, all that coming up on the St Albans podcast. Find out more about the stuff that's coming up on the podcast. Follow us on our social media platforms and also on our website, stalbanspodcast.com. What's on next week, Sam?
We have more local news with Frankie, of course. And Becky Alexander is back with her food and drink feature. And finally, we will have Fiona Harrell talking about the Dementia Cafe, which is an event happening at St Mary's Church in Marshallswick.
Okay, all that and more on next week's edition of the St Albans Podcast. Thanks for listening, and we'll catch you again sometime soon. Bye.
Thanks for listening to this edition of the St Albans Podcast with Danny Smith. If you've enjoyed this podcast, please rate, review and subscribe on Apple Podcasts or a podcast platform of your choice. This will help us reach more listeners. Join us, the St Albans Podcast, next Wednesday for more news, views and reviews. In the meantime, commit no nuisance. Produced by Samantha Rolfe. Logo and artwork by David Ellis. This is an independent production in association with the Hearts Advertiser. If you would like to become a community partner or a sponsor of the podcast, please visit stalbanspodcast.com for more details.